The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation. Let me tell you something, G, though. You out here talking about a click. Only click you need to know about is the Harley and Sickness Chair. See, because what you're dealing with here is the brotherhood. It's nonstop from this point on. And WCW, we take what we want. And after we take Lex Luger and the Giant, we want the gold, sucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
Let me get your thoughts on this past week's SmackDown. We got the next chapter in the Roman Reigns Jey Uso saga with Roman basically telling Jey by the end of the night he will fall in line.
Roman Reigns is so fucking evil. I'm like, you're so evil. What are you doing? Yo. Jey Uso, you give him all the things. Give him all of the things because, God damn it, he got to my heart. I almost cried. I was like, damn, how's that going, Jey? The emotions. And then when he beat up poor Daniel Bryan, it was just like, I understand now. I was just like, no, stop. It was as brutal as when Bayley beat the fuck out of Sasha. I was just like, no, stop. Oh, Daniel Bryan, I love that little man. I do. I love that little man. I'm like, ooh. Because, like, when you just listen to him speak about wrestling in the business, you're like, you angel. Like, you are an angel, sir. Like, he's like, he just wants to build up new talent, but he also really likes being competitive and stuff like that. And I'm just like, oh. And all the people who are coming out saying that, you know, Daniel Bryan was responsible for their push and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, little man, you're so great. And their match was bomb. I was so invested in, like, the Jey and Daniel Bryan. I was like, ooh, if we could have made this like a longer feud, that would have been good, because their match went off. I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad to see my Bianca Belair getting all the shine she deserves, all those like vignettes and like them pushing her. I'm here for it.
Yep, she's, I like it. Qualified as the first member of the Women's Survivor Series team for SmackDown, so she's on her way there.
Yeah.
Presumably she's going to be the captain, since I guess they were arguing about that.
Yeah, Natalia talking about the boat. Natalia, no. Not like Natty, but the boat? No, girl. That doesn't work. No.
Bayley coming out there trying to Ether Sasha is talking about, we know you can win a title, but everybody knows you can't defend it.
Yeah. They have to play the card, because it's true. They have to play it. They have to play the card. I'm like, ooh. So I want to see the development of that. I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see how that's going to go. Because I'm hoping Sasha can keep this, because if she loses it again on this first defense, I'm going to be like, guys, come on. What more does this lady need to do?
Right. The narrative has gotten old, right?
Yeah. I'm like, enough of her not being able to keep this damn championship. I'm tired of it. Bayley needs a break, because my girl been working the whole year. Ooh, she been working. I was like, ooh, she needs a break. Like, if she takes a break, like Sasha took a break for like a couple of months, then she can come back like rejuvenated. And I'm just like, ooh. Imagine how good she could be.
That was really the major happenings on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, Bianca Belair, Survivor Series matchup, Jey Uso, the promo to start the show, mm-hmm. Then the match with Daniel Bryan.
Oh, this is Rey Mysterio stuff.
Oh.
Stop that.
Yeah.
No. And usually I would be all for it, because this is right up my soap opera alley. Yes, be with the end. But the girl, she's like 19. He's a smooth 32. No. No. Mm-mm. Too young. I don't like it. I'm like, she was a smooth, she was like maybe like 25. Okay. But she's like 19 years old and the acting isn't that great. I'm like, we're not, no. No, 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 no. You can't Young and the Restless this. You can't. You can't do it. You can't Days of Our Lives, One Life to Live this. You can't. No, 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 no.
Yeah, Seth Rollins up here stirring it up, talking about
right.
He accepts them even though the Mysterio family won't.
Exactly. I'm like, no, 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 no. The only thing that saved that was that that Rom's facial expressions were funny. But like, I was like, change this. Change this. I don't like it. The age gap, I can't do it. I can't get with it.
Yeah. That's very disconcerting when it comes to just how it, the optics of it is. You know, especially when you understand, you know, like you said, the big age gap.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like, hey, you know, you got people in your company that's, you know, went through a whole, you know, spring and summer with people, you know, making allegations and stuff. And there was, you know, a big age difference there, too. So y'all try not to bring that to the TV if you can. But, you know, they can't help themselves sometimes.
I'm like, thanks.
Well, that brings us to Wednesday night, AEW Dynamite. But before we get there, we have a pay-per-view to preview this weekend, Saturday night. Full Gear will be taking place from Daly's Place in Jacksonville. So to share your commentary with Color, just use the hashtag All Elite Cast on Saturday night, starting at, I think it's 7 p.m. for AEW's buy-in, their pre-show. And as soon as my notes come back up, because they just magically disappeared.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't pull a me.
Go to the old trusty backup, my phone. Let's see if we can. They were just here, and then they weren't. Okay, here we go. Oh, no. I just did it again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I got too much space or something going on. Let's see here. The formatting of my notes is all jacked up. That's what happened.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. All you people who write papers and stuff, y'all know what that happened. Y'all know what that's like sometimes when your formatting gets off.
Right.
Like, what happened to all this work I just spent 6 hours working on? And then you scroll down and you're like, oh, okay.
Or when it gets like jumbled up and it looks like it's going through the matrix, I'm like, what are these? Why are these words all up on each other? I didn't do this.
Right. All right, so here we go. I've got the matches, and we're going to play a little bit of who you got for Full Gear. So we're going to have on the buy-in, NWA Women's World Championship match. The champion, Serena Deeb, facing off against the champion, a former champion, Allison Kay. Are you familiar with Allison Kay?
Nope.
Okay. Well, she was who Thunder Rosa beat for the NWA Women's Championship. So she was she was the original champion of the new NWA Women's Championship. So, yeah, she's really good. She's really good. Do you want to make a choice still, even though you aren't familiar with the other person in here, even though I know you're very familiar with Serena?
Yep, I go with Serena Deeb.
Okay, champ retains.
And yep.
I think the same thing as well. But this should be a very, very competitive, high-level match.
Yeah.
Next up, your fave, Orange Cassidy, taking on one of your other faves, John Silver.
Oh, long John Silver.
Who you got?
Oh, I got to stay loyal to my boy, Orange Cassidy. Long John Silver, you're getting up there, but Orange is my boy.
All right. I'm going to choose Orange Cassidy as well. Next up, we have Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara in an Elite Deletion match. I don't know if it's
like an quit match.
I guess. I don't know if it's going to be a cinematic match or what. But who you got? Matt Hardy or Sammy Guevara?
Matt Hardy. I'm not voting for Sammy.
Can't do it. Won't do it.
Nope. You fall in love, Sammy Guevara.
Yeah, I guess I'll go with Matt Hardy as well. I guess they're going to give him, you know, they almost killed him in the last pay-per-view. That's the least they can
win,
right?
They better. Jesus.
Chris Jericho versus MJF. If MJF wins, he is a part of the Inner Circle. Who you got?
I got MJF for the maximum drama.
So I got. I'm gonna say Chris Jericho by shenanigans.
Santana gonna run in with his Stockwell and Nichols again. You will never be a part of us. Pop him in the head.
And what we will talk about much later in the show, AEW Women's Championship match, Hikaru Shida versus Nyla Rose. Who you got?
And in the worst built storyline, Shida retaining.
Champion retains?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go with Shida as well. I just don't think that they've kind of... We'll talk about it when we get to that part of the show. World title eliminator tournament finals. Kenny Omega versus Hangman Adam Page. The winner will be the new number one contender for the AEW championship. Who you got?
Adam Page. Clearly. No question. None for you, Kenneth Omega.
I guess I'll be taking Kennedy Omega.
Just, you take him.
Just so we can have a little bit of variety in this game. Make it a little fun. But this has a chance to probably be the match of the night. Mm-hmm. If they keep the pace up and really go for it.
Yeah.
Next up, AEW TNT Championship match. We have Cody versus Darby Allin. Who you got?
I got Darby. Okay. I think Darby's coming. They've been having him perched up in that audience for way too long. I think he's taking it.
All right. AEW Tag Team Championship match. Dream match. Years in the
Wait, who you got?
Oh, sorry. I'm going to go with Cody.
All right.
And his,
you pick Cody the White.
In his squad of people who help him keep the belts.
Yeah.
AEW Tag Team Championship match, like I said, dream match, years in the making. FTR versus the Young Bucks. Who you got?
Oh,
I know who you got.
I got Young Bucks.
I know, your loyalty to flippy shit.
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry, it's it. I love the flips. What am I going to do?
I know. I'm going to take FTR. No flips, just fists.
Sure.
contrast and styles for sure. So this is going to be, has a chance to be a really good match as well.
Yeah.
And then your main event of the evening.
Woo!
Jon Moxley versus Eddie Kingston in an I Quit match for Pretty Platinum, the AEW World Championship. Who you got?
Ooh, in the best build storyline on the show. Ooh. This is hard. I think Moxley's going to retain.
I agree with you. I think that Moxley is going to pull it out in a very hard fought. This could get to death match levels of violence in this match.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be some type of something. Thumbtacks, stapler gun, something.
Don't be violent.
Yes.
Like DMX said. What you say it was talking about when I said it's going to be violent. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, so I expect to see both of these guys bleeding by the end of the match. And, yeah, like you said, best built match on the card. So I'm looking forward to that one so much.
Poor Ruthie. Ruthie's going to have to look out for her boy.
So once again, check us out in the hashtags. Use the hashtag AllElitecast. Come share your commentary with color Saturday night starting at 7 p.m. As we will be live tweeting full gear. So please join us and have fun and enjoy the festivities. So we start this week's edition of AEW with Jericho, Jake Hager, and Santana talking to Dasha. Jericho congratulates Hager on his recent MMA win. In comes MJF, who says there's a lot of tension and he doesn't want that. Jericho tells MJF that he doesn't have the killer instinct that the Inner Circle has. And in fact, Jericho thinks that MJF is a little soft.
Who?
So Jericho is designated to be the fourth man in the commentary booth tonight. So he makes his way over to the commentary table. And we have our first match, MJF and Wardlow versus Ortiz and Sammy Guevara. Springboard 450 into an axe handle to MJF from Sammy. Sammy sees Serpentico and flips him off. But Serpentico removes his mask and is revealed to be Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy tosses a chair at Sammy and it hits him in the head. So he's down and out. In the ring, MJF locks on the Salt of the Earth armbar on Ortiz. Ortiz taps out, and Wardlow and MJF are your winners.
Oh, yo, when Matt threw that chair, I laughed. Then because the way Sammy fell, it just made me laugh. It just
You're here for all things bad happening to Sammy Guevara, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. I don't see a problem. Yeah.
He did show eventually that he's going to have good babyface potential because he went off and did about 16 flips in a row.
Well,
in one stretch. But we're still a long ways from there.
Exactly.
After the match, MJF walks up the ramp and he makes a beeline over to the commentary area where he spears Chris Jericho right out of his chair. You know, they crash through the little AEW, you know, banner that they have behind him. MJF gets on top of Jericho. He punches him a few times until Jake Hager and Santana come to break it all up. Wardlow holds MJF back. Jericho is grinning from ear to ear. He stands and he just stares down MJF.
I didn't expect this because, like, after the match was over, I, like, looked down for, like, a little bit. And then I'm just like, wait, what happened? It's Melee. I didn't expect it. I was just like, hold on. I had to, like, rewind. Yo, Jericho was, like, smiling. Like, remember that match with, like, Bayley and Charlotte? Mm-hmm. And then Bayley kept kicking the shit out of Charlotte. And Charlotte just kept saying, ha, ha, ha. It was, like, that creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It was giving me this feeling, too. Because I was just like, stop smiling so hard.
I think that he appreciated MJF trying to show some killer instinct. I mean, what that was supposed to be portraying.
I'm like, how y'all gonna get back to this after you kick the shit out of each other? And be like, now you're in my group and we're friends. No. Not after that. If we're fighting, we got fisticuffs. We're not friends. That's not what friends do.
This is true. We have an interview with Kenny Omega. Omega says he's relocated temporarily to focus on his match. Omega got replacement matches. They boast all the time about being a sports-based product. They talk about wins and losses. Omega could have walked into Tony Khan's office and asked how they could handle that. How about a few buys? And Tony wouldn't dispute that. Instead, he went out and he won on his own merits. Omega wonders if it was really that obvious that it would be Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega. Ashley thought Wardlow was going to be in the finals. Consider Omega in all his tournaments. He asked, who would Tony bet on? And now he asks us, the viewer, Page or Omega? He's destined to be the next champion.
You keep talking about the shit you have done. All the things you did do. You're not doing it here. What have you done today?
Miss Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately?
Ooh, yeah. What have you done, Kenny? Nothing. Unimpressive.
Miro wants to introduce Trent, saying that this match is until Trent falls because he's stupid. And then Miro has the nerve to talk bad about Sue. That's enough. Okay. Trent is pissed, and that leads us into our match. Miro versus Trent. Trent hits the ropes. He dives over the top onto Miro. Trent then comes out of the corner with a running high knee, and he covers Miro for a two count. Trent tries for a springboard, but he trips himself up, and Miro takes advantage. Miro stomps the back. He locks in game over, a.k.a. the accolade, and Trent has to tap, and Miro is your winner.
Meh. But here's the thing. This was a really good match. I actually really enjoyed this match. The only thing is that I can't get behind this feud. It's so dumb. This whole arcade thing gets on my nerves.
It might have hit a little bit different if it would have been TJP as the person that's beaten up. since his whole gimmick is that he's a gamer, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. from Jump, that's been his mm-hmm. his deal. Whereas yeah. the best friends were like, hey, you know, we're out here fighting for our lives, and just so happened mm-hmm. you wanted to try to entertain yourself with a video game in the midst of being entertained by a wrestling match.
Exactly. And,
you know, your stuff got broke. So sad.
Like, ain't nobody tell you to bring that shit to the ring. Duh. So, but it was a really good match. It's just the reasoning behind this feud, I can't get behind.
Hopefully people appreciate how good Trent is.
I do.
he's a great tag team wrestler.
Yeah.
He's been doing that for a very long time. But mm-hmm. he's also tremendous as a singles wrestler. He just hasn't had that opportunity time after time to just display mm-hmm. it and get a run going. But
yep. yeah,
he definitely could stand on his own. So Chuck Taylor, beware.
No, don't stop. Stop it with the war on the tag team. Leave them alone. Let them be best friends. Damn it. There will be no Marty Jannetty in this scenario.
Miro locks in the game over again. Then he chases Trent outside of the ring. He grabs a mic and tells Trent that he told him that he has no manners and this is all his mother's fault. Orange Cassidy walks the apron, then flies off with a coffin drop onto Miro and Kip. And so that ends that segment. Orange Cassidy with the save.
Yeah, that's how you save your friend.
Jim Ross has a sit-down interview with Hangman Adam Page. Hangman has his glass of whiskey. He says he feels great. He's had so much time to prepare. He says he knew it was going to end up being Page versus Omega, so he's had a lot of time to prepare. He says he's going to whip Kenny's ass. JR says that they were a great team. How does this play into his strategy? Page says he knows all of Omega's moves and how to reverse them. JR says Page is lying and he is nervous, and this must not be his first drink of the day. Page says, yeah, he's nervous. Everyone walks through that tunnel and gets nervous. So, yeah, he's a little nervous. He says the first day they started this company, he said he was going to be champion, and everyone was right because they never believed him. If he doesn't win Saturday, he doesn't know what he has other than this glass of whiskey. And JR tries to give Page advice, saying moderation is important.
Oh, Adam Page. What a gem. I love him. I do, because he has it down. I'm like, you just shine. I love you. I hope he wins. That's done. I don't want him to fall into the booth. That's not great.
Taz is here with his crew. He's pissed. What else is new? He wants to tell us what he did today. For 3 hours, he sat outside Tony Khan's office trying to get 2 minutes of his precious time. And a production assistant comes up to tell him that TK is busy dealing with people that are going to compete this Saturday. He tells Tony that he forced Taz to come out here with the live mic. He says Tony has a ranking system. He believes in it. Cage is 10-1. He's also ranked number 1 in Khan's ranking system. How about Ricky Starks? All he's done is win the last 10 of his 11 matches, and he's not even ranked. Stark says he has opened and closed Dynamite and has proven why they call him Absolute Ricky Starks. So why can't he be ranked? 1 + 1 = 2. That makes sense. But what doesn't make sense is how they don't have a match this Saturday. Make it make sense. Taz says that Cody defending his title will be a great match. Darby and Cody have a lot in common. They're both entitled, spoiled, and given what they want. Taz wants to talk to EVP Cody. He runs around here looking good with his fancy title, and Taz knows that he lives by the motto, do the work. But Team Taz is getting worked, and this Saturday, there will be an FTW presence on the pay-per-view. He guarantees it.
Woo! He was making point. I mean, he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Valid, so I see it. And you were right, Ricky Starks was given 90s R&B. He was given... John B., they don't know about us. That's what he's given. Look it up.
Private Party is here. They come out with their mentor, Matt Hardy. And that's when Sammy Guevara comes out of nowhere. He hits a twist of fate on Matt Hardy, then runs to the back as quick as he appeared. So Matt Hardy is laid out. Everybody's coming to check on him. They finally scrape him up off the ramp, and then he heads back to the back. And that leads
That's
us
great.
And that leads us to the Young Bucks versus Private Party. Matt grabs Mark Quinn and lipping while he does so. The Young Bucks call for the Meltzer driver. Isaiah Cassidy pulls Nick off the apron. Mark Quinn rolls up Matt. It gets reversed. Then it gets reversed into another roll up again. Two near falls, but no pin. Matt then tries to kick Mark Quinn, but he grabs the leg and he hesitates just long enough for Nick Jackson to hit a super kick to Mark Quinn. Matt and Nick then with the BTE trigger to Mark Quinn, and they pin Mark Quinn for the 1, 2, 3.
That baby face hesitation. Get rid of it. That's what happened.
That might have been the first time he's been pinned on TV in AEW.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, he wrestled Jericho in a single.
Oh, yeah.
So that's only the second time he's been pinned, which is pretty good.
Yeah. This was a really good match. It was definitely a step up from their very first month because, like, you can see how much more polished Private Party is. And I like that Young Bucks are a little bit more aggressive, too. So this was a really good match. I enjoyed this a lot. Matt and his beautiful hair, just so beautiful. Shining and luscious.
The Young Bucks celebrate, but in come FTR. They clip the bad leg, and Dak grabs Nick and forces him to watch as Cass puts Matt's leg in the chair and heads to the top rope. He's going to jump off and pulmonize the leg. When Hangman Page arrives, he forces FTR to leave the ring and grabs the chair off Nick's leg. In comes Kenny Omega to check on the Young Bucks. FTR watches on from the outside of the ring. The Young Bucks stand as Omega knocks fists with Page. Page tells Omega not to turn his back on him while the Young Bucks continue to jaw jack with FTR. Page and Omega have some words, and Page seems highly perturbed.
Oh, this got me. I was like, friendship! They're back! Screw you, Kenny Omega. Oh, now you decide to come help. It was only because Adam Page was out there. You wanted to steal the spotlight for yourself. You. Kenny. I know your game. But this made me happy that Page came and rescued them.
Right. Tony Schiavone is in the ring, and we're ready to have our face-to-face. Eddie Kingston comes out first. He's wearing what anybody who dresses from the 90s and the early 2000s would have on. A fresh pair of Air Force Ones. He tells Tony to hold the mic up. Then out comes Jon Moxley. Eddie Kingston kicks Tony out of the ring and then tells someone to cut the music. He gets in the face of Jon Moxley and tells him he will destroy him. He will take that title and take it to his mom and tell her the reason that she doesn't have a grandkid is because of this title. The reason she doesn't have a daughter-in-law is because of this title. He had to sell out. John isn't saving anyone. He's taking that title from Moxley. Moxley grabs the mic. Eddie lets it go begrudgingly. Moxley says he'd rather have 4 quarters than 100 pennies. He says loyalty is a bitch. He's been burned time and again, but never thought he'd be burned by Eddie. He was so happy for Eddie. John says he was so happy. Eddie says no, he wasn't. John says he was happy for Eddie and his mother, Ruthie. He says he sat at that table. He said grace with her, and he made a promise that he would look after Eddie and always have his back. He made that promise to her, and he guess he's broken it. He believes that the loudest one in the room is the weakest, and Eddie has been real loud lately. Eddie's not weak, so what's going on? John knows. After 18 years, Eddie finally gets his shot, the one he never thought he'd get. Deep down, he knows that Eddie will be in the ring with the best wrestler on the planet, and he's going to lose. So it's a scary thought. John gets it, that maybe after 18 years, it turned out Eddie didn't deserve it after all. The worst part, the part that makes him sick, Eddie made a promise to his mother as well, a promise that Eddie can't keep. So we are informed that there can't be any physical contact between the men. Eddie tells John to get ready to kill him. This is real. John will show him what's real. Eddie doesn't care about this show. Take him out. Do it. Do it. The title is his. John says Saturday night at Full Gear, Eddie will find that when you are alone with nothing but your ego, that he is not the man he thought he was, and he will say, I quit.
This was good. I felt it in my bones. I was like, damn, you brought up his mama, John? not his mama. And then when they were like freaking going head to head, like I was just like, oh my God, this is a build. I was like, now this is a build. I felt all the emotion. Ooh, it gave me Roman and Jay emotions. I was like, God damn, y'all are going to kill each other. Oh man.
And there was no, there hasn't been any physical contact between the two in a long time.
Nope. It's just them just talking shit back and forth. Mm. Yeah. It's one of the stipulations that Eddie can't touch Don Moxley or else he forfeits, right?
Eddie can't do what?
He can't, like, touch him. Like, he can't, beat him up before the match.
Yeah. It was during this face-to-face. Mm-hmm. There was supposed to be no physical contact or the match would be thrown out.
Woo! It was good because they hyped up the tension. Because you could tell Eddie wanted to swing. Moxley wanted to swing. And I was like, the tension! Yes! It was great. Loved it. See, you don't always need the brawl, even though, hey, I'm on team brawl. But you don't always need a brawl to, like, build up a match. And this is great. This is a perfect example of that.
Right. Or a whole Loved bunch it. Of physicality between the two combatants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been quite a while since they actually were physically involved with each other. And so right. It's just made the strength of the promos even more valuable to the mm-hmm. build. And I agree with you. Next to Roman and Jay, this is the best story in American professional wrestling right now.
Right. And the fact that a lot of their like promos together haven't been face-to-face. It's just been like video packages. And it's like, oh, they're finally meeting in the ring, but they can't touch each other. It just makes it so much more like exciting. Mm-hmm. It makes you really anticipate it.
Exactly.
And I love it. That's the type of tension I love.
We have a video that was sent in from Pac. Remember him?
I miss you. Little evil elf.
He's sitting on a black couch watching AEW. There's a bunch of other Pacs behind him shouting and yelling like Gollum. Pac says the funny thing about isolation is that you've got nobody to play with. 7 months. Seven. But don't worry. He's been here before, lost, abandoned. They wanted him to crumble. Every day that passes, he gets better and stronger and faster and more obsessed.
Woo! This is scary. And I was like, ooh, I'm intrigued, but also a little scared. You have, like, there's, like, 10 Pacs talking in your ear at one time. Not great. My boy's going crazy. He's going crazy. I'm excited to see him back. Maybe they'll continue the whole Rey Fénix Pentagon and Pac thing.
Well, they probably won't because that's the reason why they ran in with Eddie Kingston.
Oh.
Because remember, if you remember, during the little vignette, you hear Eddie Kingston mm-hmm. say, hey, where's your little British friend or whatever?
Oh, yeah. So, ooh, my boy's coming back with a vengeance. Going to be like, you abandoned me.
QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes have a mini promo in the back until the bunny comes up to tell QT that his credit cards are maxed out and the Butcher and Blade attack them from behind.
Wow. See, Brandy warned you. She said she was using you for your money. Look at you, QT.
Nyla Rose versus Red Velvet. Red goes to the top rope. She dives right onto the shoulders of Nia, who catches her and hits a huge power bomb. We get a cover for the one and the two. Then Nyla stops the pin. She bows to Sheeta, then hits the ropes and does the running knee to the face, which is Sheeta's finisher, and pins Red Velvet 1, 2, 3.
The disrespect. I was like, no, she did not just bow. Oh, no, not her move. You know what would have been great if this whole segment and match was longer than 5 minutes. That would have been cool.
Let's talk about Red Velvet though. She was mm-hmm. accompanied by Brandy Rhodes. So I guess since they lost Allie, or aka the Bunny, they have to adopt a new Nightmare sister. And it looks like maybe this was the first night of mentorship, partnership, alliance between Red Velvet and Brandy.
You know, it would have been cool if we had seen this on TV. If you would have seen this, the development of this. That would have been nice. I think they teamed together on Dark and they lost. I'm pretty sure Red Velvet and Brandy teamed together on Dark.
Okay.
And so, like, if it would have been nice, again, if they had, you know, explained, you know, hey, Brandy's escorting Red Velvet. Velvet would have been cool. All
right.
But, nope.
They give Vicky the mic. She tells Red Velvet that she's out here with the CEO and still can't get a win. She has a new name for Brandy, CBSO, Chief Bullshit Officer. Brandy act like she wanted to do something until Nyla Rose stepped in front of Brandy to prevent any type of action. And Brandy gathered up Red Velvet and hurried herself to the back. Vicky walks her over to Sheeta to tell her that she has some insight for Saturday. She says Nyla will break her bones, Sheeta will cry, and Nyla will take the title. Enjoy the last 3 days of being the champion. Then Vicky says, excuse me or something in Japanese. Yeah. And Sheeta grabs her by the neck. Then that's when Nyla comes in to attack Sheeta. We have a mini melee on the outside as the ladies do the best that they can to spark interest for the worst built match in wrestling in the last, I don't know how long.
Yep.
But this was, oh my gosh, this was so lazy.
Yep. Garbage.
Even if the whole plan was to get back to this rematch, we could have, like you said, we could have got what happened to Red Velvet for a straight month and a half to various women of names to no names to, you know, indie darlings and stuff, and just have Nyla Rose just smashing everybody. Vicky talking trash like an advocate, and Sheeta like, well, you know, you had to make your way back up from the bottom, and you beat this person and you beat that person. Well, you got two more people to beat, and then, you know, you can get your match. And then, you know, then the last 2 weeks, you have Nyla Rose in some halfway competitive matches, at least one of them competitive. She wins that match, and then, you know, okay, she looks like, okay, you're on. You've made your way back up the ladder. I'll give you your rematch. Boom.
Yep. Real simple. Like, those last two real competitive matches could have been a Penelope Ford. It could have been Big Swole. You got Britt Baker making her way back up. Y'all had options, but you chose not to. And I don't get it. And then Cody had the damn nerve to get online and be like, you know, it's like the sports century. You guys won't be disappointed in the match. The match and, like, their performance in the match isn't my concern. They're both great. I know they're going to kill it. My problem is the storyline that you are not telling. That's our problem, you stupid. Do you not have reading comprehension? Do you not know? Are you the freaking EVP of a company? You don't know how to read simple things when people are telling you things. Like, hello? We're talking about the buildup. We're talking about the storyline that you are telling. And we know you know how to tell a storyline because you got this John Moxley and Eddie Kingston thing telling that. You're telling a story with you, Cody the White, and Darby Allin kind of creeping up on your shit. You got freaking Chris Jericho and MJF in that storyline. So we know you know how to tell a story and you know how to build up to a match. But it just seems like you don't care about when it comes to the women. And it's annoying. Like, this whole, like, segment of things took a smooth 5 minutes. As compared to when you go to NXT, you had, like, 5 women segments. And you can build a storyline. But here, it's just like you don't. It's like you don't comprehend. It's like when it's women, you're like, what? I don't know what wrestling is. I don't know how to tell stories. What's happening? What's narration progression? It's like you don't understand. And I don't understand. I'm so confused. Don't promise me something different and then give me this bullshit. This is freaking Divas Era booking, where they got a smooth 5 minutes for a match, for a segment, and to build a feud. The hell? It's BS and it pisses me off. And I'm going to keep ranting about it until they fix it.
Yeah, it definitely takes away from both women takes away from what we could have had. Like you said, more TV time just in general over the past 2 months for the women while they build the story up. And we could have got more exposure to some different competitors as well. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the lack of just Sheeta having a presence just on the show in general through video promos or, you know, interviews backstage or anything like that. It's just, you know, like you said, they just kind of, we forgot to put the women's segment in. Let's see where we can fit it in at. You know?
What are you doing? Nothing is what you're doing. You're doing jack shit. Just wasting these women's talent.
Darby Allin sent us a video. He's out in a open field. He's driving some type of like big old school car that's like painted up with like his face paint on it. It says the face of TNT on the hood. And he mows down some dude wearing a Cody Rhodes mask with the car in the middle of this field. Yeah, so there you go.
Yay. More weird Darby Allin shit. Right. See, you got time for weird Darby Allin shit.
The Dark Order, I think that was Colt Cabana, John Silver, and Ten. They faced off against Billy Gunn. My notes called him Squirt Gun, but his mama calls him Austin. And
I just call him Baby Gun.
And Cody. John Silver dives through the ropes, but Cody catches him and tosses John Silver into the crowd. In the ring, Ten whips Billy into the ropes. We get a boot to Ten. Austin gets the tag. He grabs Colt and he hits a crossroads. We get something called the quick draw to Ten from Austin. He makes the pin for the 1-2-3. And Billy Gunn, Austin Gunn, and Cody are your winners.
Sure. I didn't pay much attention to this match. I'll be honest. I don't know. Something was just kind of like, it was kind of like taking me out of it. I was happy with little Baby Gunn. I was like, oh, look at you being on TV. Not in the crowd, actually in the ring. Good for you. But I didn't pay much attention to this match. I'll be honest.
Yeah, this was, I mean, it was an okay match, you know. Mm-hmm. Good, you know, six-man tag, Colt Cabana.
Yeah.
Gets a chance to kind of excel in those. Like you said, Austin, it was more of a showcase for maybe Austin Gunn. For people to get familiar with him, since he was the one who, you know, got the pinfall and kind of was a standout. But, man, to be on the north side of 50, Billy Gunn looks pretty good.
He does. I'm like, go ahead, Billy. Look at you. Good for him.
After the match, the Dark Order tries to distract the Guns and Cody long enough for John Silver to grab a chair and attempt to attack them from behind. But Orange Cassidy comes up to hit the orange punch to John Silver. The Dark Order has to drag John Silver away and they leave. And then,
oh, a little dong, John Silver.
And then Cody gets on the mic afterwards, turns his attention to Darby Allin, who's sitting in the crowd. Basically, he's like, you know, Darby, you're up here complaining that TNT doesn't want you to be the face of the brand and the company and everything like that. And he's like, nah, I think you got it twisted that, you know, they would definitely love to have somebody like you as the face of the brand. But the responsibility is too much for you. You couldn't handle it. And, you know, basically I'm where I am because I was born to do this. And if you want to come down on Saturday to try to take this from me, I'll be waiting.
He was trying to pull a Roman.
And that's how your AEW ended for this week.
Yeah, it was another. Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah,
there were a couple of standouts, but
yeah, they've been down from their eights and nines to sevens and sixes here the past few weeks.
Yeah.
It's
like, might not.
I just think that now they just need that influx of everybody else who's been off the roster due to COVID.
Yeah.
That we haven't seen. Like, that would definitely help the women's division. Because there's a lot of people that still aren't necessarily getting TV time.
Yeah.
We still ain't seen Tay Conti in the actual TV match.
Right.
You know, too bad that, you know, she, her and Abaddon's match got scratched because Abaddon got hurt during the match. And so they did not show it. Anna Jay, she's just out here, you know, running around with the Dark Order, but she definitely could have her own story. Penelope Ford, like you said earlier, you know, she's kind of not doing anything, running behind Miro and Kip. I guess she's going to get married here soon, so she will be more into some storylines. But, yeah, there's a lot of, especially in the women's division, women who either, you know, aren't with the company because of the COVID risk or were independent that they couldn't sign because of the COVID, you know, situation, just because they weren't sure how the economics were going to work after everything shut down. So hopefully we can get the women's division up and running again, full steam with some fresh faces and some new blood. I thought that they set up the FTR Young Bucks match pretty good following that interview last week. I thought that was pretty strong. MJF spearing Jericho was unexpected, but it was pretty strong. What else was on this that kind of stood out? That was really about it. I mean, you know, Private Party, seeing them improve. It's good to see that, seeing that, you know, working with Matt Hardy, they're looking a lot smoother and
they are
getting that experience of wrestling people like the Young Bucks.
That gin and juice is so, ooh, it's so smooth. I love it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's definitely one of the best finishers in wrestling right now. So, yeah, I agree with Miss Simi. It's just a middle of the road card. And that's kind of off brand for AEW, especially coming into a pay-per-view like this where they've had time to build up all the stuff. So we'll see if maybe they're just kind of sandbagging a little bit and saving everything for Saturday night.
Yeah. They're like, all right, we'll see what you're doing.
All right, Miss Simi. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to you for your shout outs and thank yous.
Shout out to you, Don, as always, for talking wrestling with me. Shout out to the whole CSPN family and the whole WrestleCast family. Shout out to the patrons and all the people in the hashtag. And shout out to Ms. Dasha Polanco and those little leather shorts and that blue shirt. You looked great. That's all I have.
I'd like to give a shout out to Ms. Simi for joining me once again here on The Dark Match, where we review AEW Dynamite each and every week. You can find it over on the Patreon page at patreon.com/CSPN Media. Become a patron, join our $3 or $5 tier, and you will receive The Dark Match each and every week along with other premium content here from the CSPN. Thank you to everybody who joins us in the hashtag each and every week. Again, Saturday night, use the hashtag AllElitecast to share your commentary with color on AEW AEW Full Gear. Use the hashtag DynamiteCast to share your commentary with color on AEW Dynamite. So for my co-host, Miss Simi, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and this has been The Dark Match. Thank you for listening.
Take care of yourself. The election's gonna suck.